So Hebrews chapter 3, 7 to 14, I want to talk about a time to be careful, a time to be careful. And that's what basically the scripture is telling us here. And as we read that, so Hebrews 3, and starting at verse 7, this is why the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. So I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. So it says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Well, this morning I want to share from this passage of Hebrews about our need to be careful in our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we can take that relationship with Christ for granted, or we allow it to have maybe a little bit less importance in our lives, or sometimes we can allow that relationship to grow cold, or maybe sometimes even harden our hearts. In extreme cases, may even turn away from God. And the Bible warns us a lot throughout the Bible to be careful of the choices that we make, especially in regards to our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, in this text, we're given a warning that we should be very careful of what we do, the choices we make that affect our relationship with them, because they can have eternal consequences. So our relationship with Christ is something that should be taken very seriously. And as we look at all that's going on in our world right now, and even the wars that are going on, it really should cause us to be extra careful, should be looking more at ourselves and seeing what's happening around us, and to make sure that we're in a right place in our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, Scripture often reminds us that we should always take our faith seriously. And, you know, whether there's wars, whether there's disasters, whether there's end time events happening, or just living life, God still warns us in the Bible to say, make sure you take the time to make sure that relationship with him is in good standing. Philippians 2:12 tells us exactly that. It says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Other translation, work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. In other words, it's pretty strong words to take seriously that relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. We're to make sure that that relationship is real. We're to make sure that we're strong in the faith, that we're serving God every day. And if you don't think that's really all that important, listen again to what Jesus himself says to us. He says, so you too must keep watch. Matthew 24, 42 and 44. For you don't know what day the Lord is coming. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. So even Jesus himself, he's given us warnings in scriptures that, you know, take heed to your spiritual condition. Where are you with God? So we need to watch ourselves, examine ourselves, ready ourselves, be prepared to meet our God. And those are all words that really strongly suggest that we need to carefully consider where we are in that relationship with him. Do that, it's interesting, even as we do that and you read the passage of scriptures that talk about that, it says, take the time to examine yourselves. And we want to do that, to examine ourselves to see where we are in our faith with God. And so that's an important thing to do. But in view of all the things that are going on in our world of late, I think it's a timely message to say we need to look and to be careful of where we are at in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in this passage of scripture in Hebrews, it kind of gives us a number of areas to be looking for to see if there's a problem or a difficulty that we're starting to face in our lives where we need to be saying, oh, my relationship maybe is not as strong as I thought it was. And so we're going to quickly look at some of those things that he addresses here in this portion of Scripture. And the first area where he says we are to be careful and alert to at this time is the hardening of our hearts. And that's a phrase that's repeated throughout Scripture. We see it here addressed in Hebrews 3, 7 to 8. It says, this is why the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. And this can be a big hindrance that causes Christians to fall away or even to give up the faith when they allow things that have happened to them to harden their hearts against God and the ways of God. And so as Christians, we really needed to be guarding our hearts, because sometimes things happen in life, sometimes things happen in Christianity that can cause us to get discouraged, to get down, and then sometimes even to harden our hearts that we pull away from God. And God doesn't want that to happen. He wants us to draw close, not draw further away. Now, sometimes as we guard our hearts in this area, you know, sometimes it can be a disappointment that happens in our life. Sometimes a betrayal. Sometimes a hurt, an offense, a disagreement, or maybe you're going through a trauma experience, or maybe there's people around you that are poor examples, or maybe even a spiritual leader that has failed. And there can be a number of things that happen that can cause us, if we're not careful, to harden our hearts. Now, when you look at defining a hardened heart, it talks about this being an act of becoming unfeeling. Emotionally, unresponsive, callous in one's response. It involves losing compassion, resulting in a stony state that refuses to be moved by the things that are happening in our world, refusing to be moved by conviction of the Holy Spirit, or even to not even to sense God's Spirit or moving anymore in our lives. It can also include such areas, a hardened heart, as being uncaring, critical, being stubborn, being rebellious, being proud, being bitter, being resistant to the will of God. And eventually, if we don't correct those areas, can cause a person to leave the faith and never return. And that's the biggest caution, because that's a place where we do not want to see that happen, where a person would leave the faith totally and never, ever come back to faith in Christ. So that's a real scary area. And so they're warning us, be careful of your heart. Guard your heart. You don't want to have a hard heart. Pay attention to this one, because if you even feel that you're starting to show those symptoms of a hard heart in your life, then you really need, that's kind of the Lord's kind of showing you that time to make some corrections, time to make a turnaround, that your faith in Christ might be strong once again. So that's a real big one that we need to be watching out for. Don't allow your heart to get hardened towards God, towards the church, or to anything that deals with God. Be very, very careful of that. That's a really bad spiral that if we don't catch it in our lives, it can lead us where we actually abandon the faith altogether. Secondly, here it reminds us that we need to be careful of making the same mistakes that Israel made throughout the Bible. Hebrews 3, 8, 9. Don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. You know, as you read the story of Israel, and especially the story when they come out of Egypt and the water parts of the Red Sea, they walk across on dry land, and then the waters come back and takes out the Egyptian army, of which even today there's still some proof of that it really did take place. And all these wonderful miracles that they experienced, and yet as you read their story, you find that Israel started to look backwards and went away from that faith in God that they should have had, especially after seeing all those miracles. And the Bible goes on to say that those mistakes were mentioned, you know, not to signal them out or to point to them out that, you know, Israel was so bad during that time. But rather, the Bible says it was mentioned so that we can learn from them to not to make the same mistakes that they did. And, you know, sometimes you read those passages of Scripture in the Old Testament and you think, like, well, how could they ever do that? Well, that's just ridiculous that they would do that. And yet we often do the very same things even today, that God has been good to us. God has blessed us. God has done so many good things. And so quickly we can forget that and go down a path that can be very rebellious and a path that leads us away from God. And so those mistakes are mentioned to help us so that we don't go down the same places that they did. And, you know, it's always easy to point the finger and say, oh, well, so-and-so and that person and this person. You know, it's not hard to find people that aren't living for God or people that make mistakes. Very easy to do. But, of course, we need to realize, well, we make mistakes too. And people can be pointing their fingers right back at us as well. The point of this is that we learn from mistakes. We learn from people that have made big mistakes in lives. We hear their stories. And as we listen to their stories, it should help us to say, man, I don't want to get down that road. We had a speaker here a few weeks back, and he talked about getting in the drug world, going to prison, and being involved in a lot of things that you should never have been involved in. Well, that should encourage every one of us to say, that's not a place I'm going to go. I'm not going to do those things because I know that that's going to take me down a road that's going to end very badly for me. And so we're supposed to learn from other people's mistakes. But we're also supposed to learn from our own mistakes because we make mistakes. We do things we shouldn't do. And as we realize that, you know, it should be a stimulus to us to say, I'm not going to go down that road again, or that we catch ourselves and we're starting to go down this road that we realize, hey, I know what happened the last time. No, I am not going to do that this time. I learned my lesson. I'm not going to let that happen again. And so those are some important things that the Bible is trying to get across to us, that we might protect ourselves and learn to not make the mistakes that other people have made and to overcome the mistakes that we ourselves have made, to not go down those same roads once again. Because we don't want to go down roads that lead us away from God, but we want to be wise to all the traps of the enemy. And then thirdly, we're exhorted to be careful of unbelief, of turning away from the faith. Hebrews 3:12 says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. And again, very important truth here that, you know, we need to be at that place. Well, if you're in this place, you probably recognize that, well, Jesus Christ is our Savior. He came into this world. He died on a cross for our sins. He rose again, proving who he said he was, that he was the Son of God with power over life and power over death. And he offers us eternal life in heaven. Now, when we know those kinds of things, that he did all those things, why would we even think of giving all that up? Or why would we think of even throwing all of that away? Well, of course we shouldn't do that. To throw that truth that we know, and then to go down a road where we start believing other ideas and start deconstructing our faith to the place where we no longer believe what we used to believe. And we start to believe that sin, oh, that's not really a big deal. It's okay. It doesn't really matter. Well, it does matter. Sin always matters. You don't want to go down these roads of sin or really follow anybody who's teaching you to do that as well. Listen to what it says just in the previous chapter. It says in Hebrews 2:1-3, he says, so we must listen very carefully to the truth that we have heard, that Jesus Christ, he is the truth, the life, the way, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? Because we knew better. We know that Jesus is the way. We know that he's our Savior. that he is the true God. We should know that. To turn away from that knowledge once we've come to that place and receive that knowledge, to walk away from that knowledge is something that is very, very dangerous. Just looking at the definition of unbelief. The definition is of unbelief is the rejection of the truth that one experienced or knew. A rejection that Jesus is the only Savior, that you no longer believe that. Or that there are other ways to God. There's other ways to heaven. Unbelief is choosing to no longer believe. To harden our hearts. Choosing to disobey God. Rebel against God. To rebel against anything to deal with God. That's what unbelief does to us and takes us away from our faith in Jesus Christ. So it's saying, be careful. You don't want to allow unbelief to start to settle inside of you and then to eventually encourage you or deceive you to the place where you no longer believe that Jesus Christ really is the Savior of the world or that he's even real. Lots of people are walking away from that faith and even believing that God is real. Then fourthly, we're encouraged to be careful of being deceived by sin. Hebrews 3:13, you must warn each other every day while it's still the day so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. And please note here that we're to warn one another. You know, there's a lot of Christians today, they don't like being addressed about their sin. And so we love using that word, do not judge. And you're taking it out of context because as Christians, we are supposed to judge one another. We're supposed to be warning one another that when we see fellow brothers and sisters in Christ going down wrong roads, we should be talking to them. And we should be encouraging them, don't go down that road. Brother, you're going in a wrong road, a wrong place. And you need to make some corrections. And so keep that in mind. And then the other phrase I hear all the time, you know, well, we all sin. We all sin. Listen, we're talking about a blatant sin here. We're not talking about a thought. We're talking about blatant sin. There's a big difference there. And yes, we're to deal with those areas where there's blatant sin and stand up against those things. And so don't allow sin to deceive you because that's what, you know, the enemy wants us to do. He wants to come inside there and just, oh, it's not that bad. Well, so-and-so sitting on the other side of the church, they did this, this, and this. And so I don't think I'm too bad. No, we're to deal, all of us are to deal with our sin. Sin is sin. It's not good. And as we warn one another, that's to encourage one another, not to condemn one another, to warn one another, and we might get back on the right track. And those things are very important. Being deceived, again, a definition of that by sin is where our sinful desires lead us into believing lies, things that are false, things that can lead us to participating in harmful actions or activities, all the while deceiving ourselves that they're beneficial, they're pleasurable, they're harmless, there's nothing wrong with these things, and we kind of deceive our own minds and think, you know, it's not really that bad, and, you know, I should do this or do that. Besides that, you know, there's these other Christians I see, they're doing these things, and we like to deceive ourselves that sin is okay. And so this deception is a distortion of truth, causing us to rationalize wrongdoing and desensitize the consequences of our actions. So deception, it distorts the truth, replaces it with a lie that seems logical or desirable to us. That's what happens when we go down those roads. And friends, let's remember Adam and Eve. It's an interesting story reading about them. It's not a long story. It's kind of a short story, but it doesn't take very long to see they were deceived by the devil. They were deceived by sin. And he caused them to doubt the truth and began to seek their own desires over God's desires and that they were entitled to do so, which is another big problem in our world today, entitlement. We're all entitled today that, you know, don't do this, don't do that because of me and all this kind of foolishness that we got on going on today. We need to remember that the devil's desire for you is to rob you, to kill you, and to destroy you. That's his desire for you. He will deceive you. The Bible refers to him as the great deceiver. He's good at his job. And so we need to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to be deceived, to believe a lie that causes us to pull away from our faith in Jesus Christ. So be on guard. Hold on to the truth. Watch out for the deception of the enemy, because you know what? Sin likes company. And that's why people like to deceive you as well. Once they're caught up in a sin, well, they'll feel better if they can get you to join them. And, you know, sometimes that happens even in Christian circles as well. So be careful of being deceived by sin, believing that a lie is actually truth. A lot of that is happening in our world today. Lots of lies out there, and people are just hook, line, and sinker, man. It's got them. And then lastly, from this passage, we're warned to be careful to be faithful to the end. Finish well. Keep the faith. You know, you don't take vacations from God. You don't retire from God, from your faith. You're to serve the Lord every day and up to the day when you go to meet him in heaven. Hebrews 3:14. For if we're faithful to the end, trusting God, just as firmly as when we first believed, we'll share in all that belongs to Christ. You need to remember, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't want to go to hell. Some people think, oh, it's going to be a good place. It's not a good place. Read the scriptures as it makes description of what hell is like. Definitely not a good place. You don't want to go there. It wasn't made for you, but if we make choices, wrong choices, it can be a place that we can go to, which we don't want to. There's a heaven to gain. So we want to be faithful all of our days, no matter what comes our way. Even if there's persecution, even if there's war, even some tragedy that happens. A lot of accidents this past week. A lot of people that are hurting in our communities right now. A lot of loss of life during this past week. But what if you were over in the Middle East? We were kind of talking about that. What would it be like if you were in your home and the home next to you got bombed and blew up? How would that make you feel? How would it make you feel to be driving down the road and wondering, is there going to be a missile that's going to hit me here? Or be a terrible thing. We got a lot of freedoms over here that aren't in other parts of the world. Need again, be careful, it says. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. I remember talking to some young people from Lebanon, and I took them out for a boat ride. And we had a really good time with them. And I was asking them, I said, well, you're in Lebanon. Lots of times there's missiles that come over. And how do you guys cope with all that? Now, remember, these are, I think they were 16 and 18-year-old guys. And they just very calmly responded, well, if it's your time to go, it's your time to go. And I was kind of taken back by that response. But be ready. Be ready. The Bible says be ready. Be ready. Keep the faith. Don't give up the faith no matter what's happening around you. Keep the faith. Be faithful all of our days. Stay faithful. Be determined. Commit your days to serve the Lord right up until the time that either the Lord returns or that our lives are taken and we go to be with the Lord. I like how the Apostle Paul responded about his faithfulness to God, which I think should be our goal. 2 Timothy 4:7-8 says, I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I've remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. I think that needs to be our goal, that we'll be able to say, you know what, I'm fighting the good fight of faith. And it is a fight, because it's not always easy. And so you fight, you know, you're determined. You're going to say, I'm in this battle, and I'm going to win this battle. I am going to continue to serve the Lord all the days of my life. Even though things will come against me in these battles of life, I will stay faithful and I will serve the Lord. I will remain faithful. And so it says, be careful, be faithful to the end. No turning back. No turning back, only going forward. Don't go backwards, always go forwards with God. Now, as we conclude here this morning, you know, we are living in a time where we do need to be careful. It's a reality that we shouldn't miss. Lots of things are happening right now. And there's lots of warnings in scriptures that tell us that and to inspire us to take our faith more seriously. Now, it's not there to, these warnings are not there to condemn us. They're there to encourage us to stay in the faith. And so we're not trying to hear this morning to condemn you, make you feel bad or terrible. What we do want to do this morning is to encourage you, don't go in those places that are bad for you. You want to keep looking forward with God. And so it does talk here about keeping your faith seriously. You know, being careful of allowing our hearts to be hardened. That's a real big one. That takes out a lot of people. Be careful of making the mistakes of others. We really shouldn't be making the mistakes that we often do, because we see so many other examples of people have gone there before us and have made mistakes. To be careful of unbelief beginning to take root, to begin to believe that, oh, this God thing, it's a lie. It's not really true. And you start to believe a lie instead of the truth. Be careful of turning away from the faith. Be careful of being deceived by sin. Be careful to stay faithful in all that we do. And as we commit ourselves to be faithful, pray for wisdom, pray for understanding, that we will live our faith and take our faith very seriously. Now, if you happen to also be here and you've happened to, maybe you've gotten caught up or slipped in some of these areas, that can happen. And you might be saying, I should have been more careful, or really should. Well, you know, there's a way to correct that, which is the same way for us all. Of course, first of all, you want to make a commitment, you know, to serve the Lord and get back on track. But we all need to come to that place where we repent of our sins. Sometimes that's a step that a lot of people miss. They just kind of say, oh, I kind of messed up. I'm going to serve God. No, you need to repent. And you say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I really messed up. Would you please forgive me? And you know, maybe you're here today or you're watching online today and say, oh, you have no idea, Pastor, things that I've been in and been involved in. I think there may be a little bit too big to experience any forgiveness. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us there in 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. So there's nothing that you may have done that is too bad that God can't forgive. You need to remember that. I love Isaiah 1:18. It says, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. And I kind of like that because, you know, even this week we had another good size snowfall. And, you know, blanket the land in white, which looks pretty cool. It's not so great to drive in, but when it's out there in the fields there, it is so beautiful. It is so good. And remind yourself that even though we can make mistakes or maybe fall away, that when we make those recommitments to God, we ask God to forgive us. He says, I'm going to make you as white as snow. That's a cool thing. I kind of got thinking about that and, you know, thinking this past year, it's been certainly close to a record in our snowfall. Kind of wondering like, well, in the Bible, you know, snow often symbolizes purity, righteousness, and divine forgiveness. Wondering if God's not trying to give us a message through all the snow that we've seen to say, you know what, time for you to turn to me. There's lots of grace that I have that I can extend to you, that I can make your lives as white as snow. I can take care of all that garbage that has gone on in your life. I can take care of all those worries and those fears, those judgments that you have, convictions that you're going through, the guilt that you're going through. So I can take care of all that and give you a clean slate as white as snow. So as we look at our lives here this morning, where do you stand with God? Are you still serving him? Are you in a relationship with him? Well, you can be in a relationship with him pretty easy. It's just simply a matter of the heart. I can lead you in a prayer at the end of the service. We're going to have some of our board members are going to be coming and be at the front if you want prayer. And we'd be happy to pray with you at the end of the service. But even right now, you can just simply say, Jesus, I've been sensing something today, and I do believe you're real. And I ask you to come into my life, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins and the things that I've done in my life that are wrong. And help me now to live this life of faith, because if you're here today, there's something inside of you that has drawn you here. That's the Spirit of God. That's what he does. You're not here by accident. The Spirit of God draws us, that we might hear such words, that we might be brought back into a relationship with him. And so may we heed all these warnings of scriptures today. And even as we come towards communion, I'm going to ask the musicians if they would come back to their instruments. And, even in the communion service where we're remembering what Jesus did for us. Well, why is he our Savior? Well, he came to die for our sins. He paid for our sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But what did Jesus do? He came and experienced death for us. He was our sacrifice. He was our substitute that we might have life. We also celebrate the blood that was shed. His blood was shed that our sins could be forgiven. With any sacrifice, it's not a sacrifice unless there's blood that is shed. Jesus shed his blood for us. He was the Lamb of God that was offered in our place for us that we might be forgiven of our sins. And so we're to celebrate that, the Bible says, and to remember that. And he says, as we do that, it's also an opportunity to examine ourselves. Where are we in our relationship with God? And so a communion service can also be that time where we can make some personal commitments right where we are in our seats and just cry out to the Lord and say, God, maybe I messed up a little bit. And, we can make those cries for, ask God, forgive me, Lord. Help me to stay on the right road. God, I don't want to go backwards. I want to go forward with you. And God can help us to do that. He doesn't tell us all these things to say, oh, you're on your own. No, he says, I will walk with you. I will be with you. I want to be beside you. I want to walk with you through all those things of life that you go through. You are not alone. I am with you. Forever, he says. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I am with you always, even to the very end of the world. That's who he is.